Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Walgren, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 27 of Brody Sports Talk. I am excited. It is the week of Thanksgiving. It's American Thanksgiving. We don't care about Canadian Thanksgiving. We don't care about Matt Canada. We don't care about any of that stuff. It is a proud time to celebrate our heritage and peaceful bring together of different cultures. One culture that we are a big fan of here at Brody Sports Talk is football, of course. And I'm joined to talk about that today by my co-host, Derek Rusnick. Derek, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It is one of my favorite holidays, second only to St. Patrick's Day. I'm very ready for all the foods indeed,
which we'll get to more about that in just a second. But I do have to introduce, we have a guest with us today. He currently is not on a podcast, but he definitely enjoys to listen to this podcast, Brody Sports Talk, along with other fantasy podcasts and other great all-around NFL podcasts, and that is John Anderson. John, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
All right. And just to do a quick rundown of what we're looking at on the show today, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, and picking games against the spread. we have our Thanksgiving dinner draft, which the order was randomly decided. It is going to go Derek, John, and then myself. We have several things that we need to draft in a snake draft. I'll give more explanation on that in a second, but we are also going to be looking at the three Thanksgiving Day games and picking a matchup to watch amongst all three of those. And last but not least on the podcast today, we will be figuring out our high fives and handshakes to the future as we are doing a extra helping of Brody Bets this week. Five games between the two of us wasn't enough. We ended up doing a total of 8 games apiece for 24 games. So instead of 10 on Brody Bets this week, you get 24, which is more than you can ask for, and you might feel as stuffed as a turkey. So to go back to the Thanksgiving dinner draft, it is going to go Derek, John, and myself. It's going to snake, so it'll go back and forth. Everyone is required to obtain these items for their table. It is 1 meat, 1 sauce, 2 carbs, 2 veggies, 2 desserts, and a beverage, which is a total of 9 rounds. I will say that unlike fantasy football, there is no bench. When we're talking about Thanksgiving, it's either on the table or it might as well not be showing up, because if you don't put it on the table when everyone's getting their plates filled, it's not getting eaten. Derek, you do have the honor of taking the number 1 overall pick this year. What is your choice? You can go from anything on the board.
Yeah, so looking over the meats, the sauces, the carbs, the veggies, the dessert, and the beverages, I got to go with the whitest guy on the board, and that's going to be the white meat turkey. I love that he is the star of the show, and he is bringing 2 scoops of whatever you want. He can play whatever position that you want. He can go sandwich. He can go fancy dinner. He can block for you. Blocking the space on the plate for deviled eggs and stuff like that. He has got it all. He is a 5-tool athlete. I'm taking the meat off the board and taking the turkey.
We're talking turkey here on Brody Sports Talk as Derek has taken turkey number 1 overall. Not a big stunner. It is a frequent number 1 overall pick during this draft. I think I forgot to mention, this is the 5th year that I've done this draft, as this is the 5th season of Brody Sports Talk. Every Thanksgiving we've had one, and it's always a little bit of an adventure. John, this is your first draft, of course. Turkey is gone, so where do you want to go on the board at this point?
Well, my 101 is still there. I think that turkey is important, but I think a good finish is important when it comes to offense or defense, and I'm going with pumpkin pie. That is my pick, number one overall.
I mean, no one is going to be disappointed about having pumpkin pie. That's an absolute lock. So you know it's going early. It's just a matter of who's taking it and where. It never gets undrafted. Pumpkin pie, you know, they were used as decorations for the last couple of months, and now you have a pie out of them. Hopefully not for real, because that pie would be gross if you had it out on your porch for months, but that's okay. Oh man, the board is open. I'm gonna go with some choices here that I don't know that everyone would go with, but I want to go ahead and take, because I'm gonna go ahead and get things started with a little bit of comfort. I'm gonna go ahead and go to carbs, and I'm gonna grab some homemade macaroni and cheese. We're talking the good stuff. It is nice. It is cheesy. Maybe you have like the breadcrumbs on top. Some people apparently don't like that. I don't care. I want all of the good stuff with a hearty macaroni and cheese, as I'm going to enjoy it. All of the kids at the table are going to enjoy it. Like, it's for all ages, and it's a beautiful thing. And I have to take it here. I'm also going to go ahead and keep it a little bit liberal on this choice, but I'm going to go to veggies, and I'm going to go ahead and take mashed potatoes, because it is not a Walgreen Thanksgiving if you do not have mashed potatoes. You might be able to have everything else, but if you don't have mashed potatoes, it is just not right. Derek, I saw you when I was taking mac and cheese. Do you have a thought? You need to jump in here.
Yeah, so this is the only, so when your mac and cheese pick is the only mac that Bill Belichick will have at his table.
Mac Jones has not been invited. And I don't know of any food that starts with Zappy. Maybe you could have some Zappy zucchini. I don't know if that is a thing. We'll see if that gets drafted later, but I'm going to doubt it. So macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes. John, you have pumpkin pie. You've got another dessert spot, and the rest of your board is open. Where do you want to go now that it is the fifth overall pick?
It's the fifth overall pick, and turkey's off the board. So you kind of have to, I think I could wait a little bit to go with a meat. But I think that no matter what meat's on the table, you have a nice buttered roll that's off to the side of the plate. I'm going to go with that as one of my carbs. We're going to take rolls. You can be crescent rolls. It could be dinner rolls, but it's got to be there.
All right. John is going with some rolls. I put it in as buttered rolls. That's the way you'd said it at first. So that's the way I typed it out. That makes sense.
You don't have butter on it. I don't think it's real.
Even if it is real, does anyone actually want it on their table? Like, we're talking about Thanksgiving. I don't think that the extra calories for the butter really matter for this meal. Derek, you get back-to-back picks here at 6 and 7 overall. You've got the turkey. What are you putting with the turkey?
Okay, so I do need a ref's ruling here, as I think they're the same thing. But does dressing and stuffing, are they considered one?
Whichever way you call it, you get dibs on either or both. Like, okay. I think that they are semantically similar, even though a lot of people will fight on certain things. I'm not going okay. to. You pick which one and you get all of that.
Okay, I get dressing then.
Regional, I think, could be soda and pop. I think it's the same thing.
Well, I mean, I think it technically depends on if you actually stuffed it in the turkey, but dressing is fine. I've got you down for dressing. And I am putting that in the carbs category because it is mostly bread.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to go dressing, stuffing, you got to go green bean casserole for a veggie. So my next pick is green bean casserole.
I'm not stunned. I thought that there was a good likelihood green bean casserole was not making it back to me. I am a fan, but you've got it, Derek. So good for you. John, you've got the buttered rolls and the pumpkin pie. but nothing is officially closed on your board. Where are you wanting to go eighth overall here?
Eighth overall, the green bean casserole would certainly not have made it back to you. I think I'm going to do a veggie, and creamed pearl onions is a staple over here at our house. It came from many, many generations ago, and it's delicious. It kind of functions as gravy, but creamed pearl onions is going to be my vegetable. One of my vegetables.
I don't know that I have a lot of familiarity with that, John. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Or you said it can be used as a gravy as well.
Yeah, it's kind of you kind of cook those little tiny pearl onions, and usually either with peas or sometimes with green beans. And it's in like a creamy sauce. Very delicious. And it's, you know how Thanksgiving, you kind of have some things that you don't mind leaking to anywhere else on the plate. And that's one of them.
That makes sense.
I've had that before. Now that you described it, I was like, oh yeah, I have had that before. And you are correct. Super yummy.
So I've got to go with some more things that I find to be comforting. Apparently this is Caleb's comfort food table. I don't know if that's official or not, but I'm going to go ahead and grab a dessert because I don't have one. And there's one that I truly love, and that is pecan pie. When it's made right, it is one of the most delicious pies around. I know that pumpkin gets all of the love, but I'm anti-pumpkin spice season and not really a fan of pumpkin, so I'll be taking pecan pie all the time anyway. And I'm going to go ahead and take a beverage that I know would be enjoyed by either of my co-hosts here. I'm going to take Dr. Pepper, as it is no longer able to be taken by anyone else. Got to have some great Dr. Pepper. And just to be clear, we're not letting like any like Dr. Pepper Zero or Diet. Like, no, I get all of the Dr. Pepper wheelhouse with this one.
Great. I was going to take Diet Dr. Pepper, and he took that away.
I mean, you could, but now you can't. And you probably didn't want it anyway. Which does close out my beverage category, but that's okay. I've got four things here. I feel pretty good about the board, but it is going to be four picks before it comes back to me. John, you've got a little bit of everything open because the ones you've taken are all doubled rounds. So you've got some flexibility with your board. Where do you want to go here with your fourth pick?
I am going to take my first single position, and it's time for some ham. If you can't get turkey, if you're going to a Thanksgiving meal and there's no turkey, there better be ham.
I like ham. I'm not going to be disappointed to find ham there. So it's a good solid pick. Derek, you've got the turkey dressing and green bean casserole. What are you going with for your fourth and fifth picks?
Okay, so I need another clarification, because you went with mashed potatoes on your veggie. Is sweet potatoes, like sweet potato casserole, is it a carb or is it a veggie?
I think we've had this discussion in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm fine putting it at either. I think typically, like if it's more like fresh, I would say it's more of a veggie. But if it's really more of like the sweet potatoes on the side with mostly marshmallows, it's probably more of a carb and potentially close to the dessert category. But it is a flex. You know, it's kind of the Taysom Hill of the draft. You can put it a little bit of whatever position you want.
And where does deviled eggs land? Are they a carb? Are they what would they fall under?
I think I maybe have had appetizers here before, and I don't think that I did that this time. That might have been a mistake by me, but I would be fine putting it under. I think deviled eggs would go under carb. I don't think I can get them under veggies by any means.
Okay, so I will go as my, to close out my carb section, deviled eggs. I have them in my carb section on my notes here, so we're in agreement there. And then I'm going to take sweet potatoes in the veggie category, as I'm not a big fan of sweet potato casserole because of the marshmallows on top, but I do enjoy regular sweet potatoes in like little chunks or whatever. I think that those are a staple. So you can have sweet potatoes in a lot of different ways at Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Gotta love those sweet potatoes, and deviled eggs are underrated. So I think having them there, you know that everyone's going to take probably like one or two, and you're hoping to go get
or
another
seven.
One or two before the meal actually starts. So
you got to be careful with those. You'll start with one, and then before you know it, they're all gone.
Are they the true definition of the old Pringles slogan? Bet you can't eat just one.
Yes, they really are. They are the best. One of the best parts of Thanksgiving and the holiday season, because I get them at both Thanksgiving and at Christmas.
All right. Well, John, you've got the ham, you've got rolls, you've got the cream pearl onions and pumpkin pie. Are you going to close out sauce, carbs, veggies, dessert, or beverage?
I think I can wait on beverage. I think I've got a beverage that'll be a nice pick that will not be picked. So I'm going to wait on that. I'm kind of wondering about the sauce. Does the mustard sauce glaze that goes over the ham, is that going to count as my sauce? I think that's what I'm going to go with. Like a brown mustard sauce.
Yeah, let's put it in there. Because if it's going specifically for the meat, that's usually what you're going to be talking about. So you said a brown mustard sauce?
Brown mustard sauce.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I'm looking down at the board, and it hasn't gone yet, and I just need to take it because I like it. I'm going to get some gravy. Give me some gravy. It can go on a lot of... Well, one, I've got mashed potatoes, so that's like a perfect stack. Like, when you have mashed potatoes and gravy together, they elevate each other so much. And again, like when we're talking about things that can go on a little bit more of everything, no one's like, this gravy got on my meat. What? Why are you doing that? Like, no one's upset by that. So that's just winning all around. I am going to go ahead and with my other veggie, it may be a little bit modern. It may be something that you don't go with all that often on your plate, but I'm going to go ahead and go with some fresh salad. I think that, you know, a lot of the things are baked. I want to try to take something that just needs to be chopped and set to the side. You know, there's so many pots going, there's so much going on with the oven. I want something that's a little bit simpler and easier to deal with. And so for me, taking a fresh salad just closes out my veggie category, and it lightens up my entire plate, because I'm not too worried about the salad like breaking my plate in half by any means. So it works. It works to have it there. John, we're back to you with your sixth pick. What do you want to go with here?
Well, I'm going to go a completely different direction from the light, healthy-ish salad. Bacon-wrapped asparagus is what's going on.
Good choice. Good choice.
Because, I mean, why not add a little bit of bacon to almost any vegetable, and it elevates it, I think.
No one is saying no to having more bacon. That is a lock for sure. Derek, we're back up to you. You've got your sauce, both desserts, and your beverage still available. I know John said he's got a beverage he doesn't think anyone will pick. Part of me wants to know if you're going to try to snipe him anyway. Or are you going to go ahead and go with a sauce or a dessert? Well, you do have two picks. You can take both desserts. We don't know what you're going to go with here.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with dessert and a beverage. My dessert is going to be apple pie. Apples are really good this time of year, and I think it gets underrated. I did have a full-blown debate today on whether or not sharp cheddar cheese is supposed to be on apple pie. As my two co-hosts today, have you ever had sharp cheddar cheese on a piece of hot apple pie?
I don't believe that I can say that I have.
I have, and it was absolutely delightful.
Yes. Okay. me and John, new best friends. Sorry, Caleb, you are kicked out of the treehouse. My dad taught me that when I was young, and I probably have not had more than 5 pieces of apple pie in my life that have not had a piece of cheese on top of it. It's really good. It really elevates the apple pie.
It's got to be real sharp cheese, mm-hmm. but yes, excellent.
Okay,
is it extra sharp or just sharp? I just need to know for the notes and for awareness in case I decide to try some future implementation.
Sharp cheddar is fine. Okay. You don't have to go extra sharp.
All right. Well, you did say you had a beverage in mind, so I'm excited to hear what you have there.
Oklahoma is it wafers from Midwest to South. So I'm jumping on the South train and saying sweet tea is my beverage of choice for Thanksgiving.
Nothing wrong with a nice ice cold glass of sweet tea. It is going to be appreciated by many at the table. And I, for one, love it. The sweeter, the better.
Amen.
John, you've got 3 left. You have a carb, a dessert, and a beverage. Unless you got sniped there, I don't know that you would go beverage anyway, because we both have taken ours.
My beverage is safe. My beverage is safe.
Yay!
My beverage is safe. We'll reveal that at the end. I'll probably... struggling for carbs. Struggling for carbs. So I will pivot back to a tried and true sugar cream pie for my second dessert. We'll load up and be in sugar coma by the second half of the last game.
It sounds like a sugar coma. It definitely, I feel like there's a lot of richness going on at John's table. I don't dislike it. I just have to call it out. So we are back to me. I'm going to go ahead and get a dessert here. It may not be a traditional Thanksgiving dessert, and it's going to be the first non-pie mentioned, but I'm going to go ahead and take peach cobbler, because give me some peach cobbler that is a little bit warmed up, and I'm going to be happy. I love the taste of peaches, and if you're going to have me taste a fruit with a dessert, peach hits the spot just right for me. So I do have to take a look here. A lot of different things have gone. I want to wait on meat, but that means that I need to grab a carb right here. And I don't know that I have a clear standout either, which is what is giving me such a hard time at this point. So I may need a little bit of clarification, but I'm going to go ahead and take some crackers. I'm going to take some crackers that you can stick on the side of the plate. Again, a little bit light, a little bit easy, but they definitely are more in the carb fashion. These are, you know, get the good Ritz, get the nice stuff, but putting some crackers on the plate for Thanksgiving.
I'm not mad about it. Yeah, I mean, there's probably some sharp cheddar cheese laying around from the apple pie. So put that together. And I think you've got something there.
While you're waiting for the turkey to finish up, you get some deviled eggs, you get some crackers and cheese. You know, we are having a little appetizer before the main event.
Absolutely. So, John, you've got a carb, you've got a beverage. What are you going with before we get to the last round?
All the good carbs are taken. We've got mashed potatoes off the board. Sweet potatoes, I would have called a carb, but it's a vegetable today, and those are gone too. It's going to be... I'd say maybe a little side of a pumpkin soup. Does that count as a carb? It's a kind of a carb soup. I'm not sure if that would count.
What I'm going to do,
got to pivot.
And Derek, you can rule if this is allowable or not. I'm going to say pumpkin soup with bread bowl. And that way you just, we're just pumpkin adding soup a carb.
Bread bowl.
Yeah, I mean a squash sure. soup would be
squash soup.
And pumpkins are in the squash category. I think it's kind of carby. I would think that if we're you have
it. How about yeah, we no, call I, it a butternut squash soup and then
butternut squash is even better.
Butternut squash soup. Let's do that. That is, I mean, we're picking first year rookies at this point, so we got to get something on the board.
Derek, we are to your final two selections. You have a sauce, you have a dessert. Go ahead, tell us in whatever order you choose.
Yeah, so we're going dessert first. And dessert, I have to have it at my table because of my wife. That's a cheesecake. Cheesecake is always a nice, smooth finish to a really nice meal. And then I'm taking the Brock Purdy of sauces. That's cranberry sauce. He's going to come in to my locker room. Everyone knows he's really good and probably should have been the first guy off the board. But, you know, for some reason, he fell toward the end of the draft. But he's in my system and he's going to look like an MVP.
It sounds awesome. I'm never upset by cranberry sauce. John, I'm ready to hear your elusive beverage.
You mentioned all the heavy richness that was on the table, and sometimes you just got to cut through that with a nice, refreshing, ice cold sip of cranberry Sprite. Not the regular Sprite. It's Thanksgiving. You get a nice cranberry Sprite, and you're ready to go.
That's a good pick. I like that. I have had
cranberry Sprite. It hits the mark a little bit. It's not my favorite, but it, you know, if you're going to have it, it's the time of year to have it. That is for sure.
It's a special occasion.
Absolutely. Well, turkey and ham were long gone, and I still have meat left as my option here. I'm going to go ahead. You know, I've got so much comfort food on my table. I'm going to go ahead and just take fried chicken. You know, is anyone really upset to have fried chicken? No. It's still a lot of work. It's still going to be something where you want it done just right. But you fry the chicken, you've got gravy, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, Dr. Pepper, cobbler, pecan pie. Like, I feel like this is a very, if I would have gotten like Brussels sprouts or fried greens or something like that, then this would be in a more southern table. But I don't think that it's a disappointment by any means. Just to recap the three tables so that our listeners get them straight. Derek on his table has turkey, cranberry sauce as his sauce. His carbs are dressing and deviled eggs. Apparently 7 deviled eggs, according to John. I don't know that Derek has all of that on his plate, but, you know, maybe. If you count all of the plates that are used on Thanksgiving, possibably 7 deviled eggs.
Not 7 at a time, just 7 by the end of the day.
Oh, okay. Veggies are green bean casserole and sweet potatoes. Dessert of apple pie with sharp cheddar cheese and cheesecake. It's a very cheesy dessert round for Derek. And the beverage, of course, sweet tea. Derek, I'm just going to put this out there. Is there a brand of sweet tea that you prefer? Or are you doing like a homemade sweet tea? Or what are you going with on that?
Yeah, so I make my own tea. I have Lipton bags. I make a gallon at a time. So there's always enough tea for everyone to drink. I guess if I'm going with a name brand, it's going to go Lipton because they make really good tea bags.
That's fair. At John's table, we have ham with a brown mustard sauce, buttered rolls, and butternut squash soup. The veggies are cream pearl onions with bacon-wrapped asparagus. He's got pumpkin pie and sugar cream pie and a nice light cranberry Sprite. Yes, I rhymed on purpose. And then to wrap it up, at my table, I've got the fried chicken, gravy, mac and cheese, some crackers, mashed potatoes, some fresh salad, pecan pie, peach cobbler, and ooh yeah, the 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper.
That's a good table. It's a good table.
I think if I had to go to three different Thanksgiving meals in one day, I think I would be happy at all three of these.
Agreed.
Speaking of places where three different Thanksgiving meals are going to happen, let's talk about the three Thanksgiving Day games and go ahead and pick our matchups to watch from those. We all know in general, whether you're just there for the food or for the family, typically you're going to find times where the TV is on and people are watching those Thanksgiving games. The Lions are always going to be on early. The Cowboys are on in the afternoon, and now there's an evening game as well, and it's a beautiful thing. So let's go ahead, and the Packers at 4-6 are taking on the 8-2 Lions in the early matchup. And Derek, let's start with you. What is your matchup to watch in that contest?
Okay, so the Packers at the Lions, this is a game that if you would have told me the last two or three years that the Lions would be a pretty good favorite and expecting to win the North, I would have called you crazy and thought, you know, Green Bay had a thermonuclear warhead dropped on top of them. Like, the Packers, that's just what they do. They win the North. They're great. So the expectations for the Packers are very big when it comes to any game that they're in. And they've had, since 92, they've had MVP-level quarterback play from Brett Favre, then hands it over to Aaron Rodgers. And now Aaron Rodgers has handed it over to Jordan Love as he's walked out the door. So for me, I am watching Jordan Love versus the expectations that the Packers and their fans have for their quarterback. This is the first time in a long time that they did not have a guy who probably should have went number one overall, because Aaron Rodgers was that good. He had to wait a long while in that draft room. But this is his first Thanksgiving as a full-time starter. He's had a pretty decent start to the beginning of the year. And this last game versus the Chargers, he looked really good. So can a new story for Jordan Love be told on Turkey Day? Can he get this bad jinx off of his shoulders and move on to, hey, this guy's actually pretty good. In the next couple of years, the Packers are going to be that team again. So for me, everyone's looking at Jordan Love and seeing what he can do and where his expectations should be.
I like it, Derek. I think it makes a lot of sense because Jordan Love, like if you're a casual fan, this is the first big time game that you're going to be getting everyone's attention. Like when you're getting like random grandma's attention who are like, oh, who's that guy? Okay. Where'd Rodgers go? And they're like, oh, that, I don't know who this number 10 guy is. And like all of those random comments that are going on, it's Jordan Love's first true spotlight game, because when you're playing on the holidays, it's just a little bit different. John, I was looking at your matchup. I feel like you have someone who's going to give Jordan Love a bit of an issue. What's your matchup there?
It is Aiden Hutchinson versus the Packers O-line and mostly probably Jordan Love at some point during the afternoon. The last time they met up, he had 1.5 sacks versus Jordan Love and the Packers. And I think he gets one, maybe two again, because he just is so disruptive and he somehow gets through no matter what.
Okay, so when you go to your family's house, for Thanksgiving, you know, you have that aunt who always want to give you a hug. Is that what Aiden Hutchinson's going to be for Jordan Love? Is he's, I just want to hug you, guy. Just let's hug, and we're going to hug so much that we're going to fall down on the ground. You just happen to have the ball in your hand.
Multiple times. Yeah. If you had two to three different aunts doing it, I think then that would be an accurate representation. He's going to get back there at some point.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and go to the opposite side of the ball for my matchup to watch in this game, as I'm going to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown against hopefully a healthy Jaire Alexander. I know Alexander has missed some games. We don't know for sure if he's going to be in this one, but I like seeing some of the best players in football play head to head. And that's why I really hope that this is a matchup that happens. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been great at running routes. He has great hands. He has been a thrill since making it to the NFL. And he's been a lot better than his older brother, Equimanius, who is a former Packer. Jaire is awesome. Like, we took him in the first round. He's been a good shutdown corner. He's gotten an extension. And I feel like he's slightly fallen off a little bit this year. You know, sometimes he seems like he's supposed to be an all-pro corner. I don't know if that's injuries or what exactly the issue is, but he's got a lot of youth around him in the secondary with players like Carrington Valentine, who most people probably look at and go, who's that guy? And I do think that Jaire is going to need to be able to step up and at least limit Amon-Ra St. Brown, or the Lions are going to put everyone to sleep in this game before Thanksgiving lunch. Maybe halftime too.
I do love a good turkey nap after getting that turkey and then watching a football game. The turkey nap is just the best.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's go to the Commanders at Cowboys afternoon game. And I deferred first, but I'm going to go ahead and take the talking point to start this round. And I'm going to go ahead and say kicker Brandon Aubrey of the Cowboys versus extra points. He has not missed a field goal yet this year. Yes, I may have possibly just jinxed him on this podcast. We will be tuning in to see if that actually does happen during this game. However, he has missed two extra points. He missed one this past Sunday. And if there's anything that is for sure known, it's that Jerry Jones gets really upset when his kickers miss extra points. I believe it happened not once, not twice, but like five times in one of the playoff games last year. And that is embarrassing. Brandon Aubrey, if you don't make your extra points, Jerry's going to stop writing those checks for you, man. We know it doesn't cramp his hand, but he's going to stop writing them for you anyway. Am I right, Derek? Like, he'll stop writing them, but his hand does not cramp while writing checks.
It does not cramp. My hand does not cramp while writing checks. And he's written quite a few of them. You definitely have to, if your offense is able to put a touchdown on the board, you have to be able to put that seventh point up there. It's going to change games. You don't want to have to go to the two-point conversion game where it's back and forth that way. It's just ugly. I'm in agreement with you.
I mean, not every team has a excellent backup third string running back like Dare Ugun Balie. But the Cowboys, I don't believe have anyone. Can we see what would happen if Rico Dowdle or the short dude that they drafted from K-State this past
Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, I knew Derek would remember. If one of them can go out there and kick an extra point, that would be awesome. I just want that to be the halftime show now. Who is a better kicker, Deuce Vaughn or Rico Dattle? But all seriousness here. John, I'll go to you. Yours and Derek's points are relatable. So I'll probably let you transition into each other, but what is your matchup to watch in the Commanders Cowboys contest?
I think if the Commanders want people to watch their game instead of fall into a turkey coma, that Sam Howell is going to have to do what he's been doing. He's been really carrying the team. He's really turned into their quarterback. He's a fifth rounder from the 2022 draft, but he has been spreading the ball around. He's been hitting the running backs. He's been hitting the tight end. He's been hitting his wide receivers. I think that this Sam Howell versus the Dallas D, which is no slouch, is going to be an interesting matchup to watch.
I'm in agreement with you, and I'll go ahead and slide in there. So for me, I'm looking at where Sam Howell is going to throw the ball. So De'Ron Bland, who is a backup cornerback, has tied the record for the most pick sixes in a NFL season. Right now he's at 4. And if you haven't, if you don't know Sam Howell real well, he does throw interceptions once in a while. The regular season, he's had 18 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. This last game versus the Giants, he had 3 interceptions. So there are plenty of opportunities that Sam Howell is going to give to Bland to get that individual, I have the most pick sixes in an NFL season. And, you know, I think there's going to be plenty of hype for the rest of the secondary to, like, help him get that.
Just in case any of you are curious, Derek does not recommend that your table be Bland. He just is talking about the safety De'Ron Bland. He definitely wants you to make sure you put plenty of spice on your Thanksgiving food. And he wants to bring the spice because he wants De'Ron Bland to make it into the record books, even though he is not a Dallas Cowboy fan. John, I don't know if you caught this one. Do not listen to our way too early 2022 NFL mock draft.
I was wondering if you're going to bring that up. I had Sam Howell at what, 2?
Yeah,
either 1 or 2. Yeah. Sam Howell, who went in the 5th round, I took him to number 2nd overall.
Which was where he was expected to go at that point. It just shows how wild the 2021 college football season was.
Well, I think that you're getting a little bit of resolution to that. He maybe was worth a 2nd round pick. He's doing all right.
Well, we mean 2nd overall. Granted, that might have been better than Zach Wilson. So, shots fired. I will say, I think we had Spencer Rattler go number 1 in that draft, and he has not left college. So
that is correct.
let's go to the night game. Where hopefully the tryptophan does not hit the fans too hard, as it is going to be a West Coast matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. The 12s will be out in full force, but it is going to be an interesting matchup. Derek, I want to know what you're thinking in terms of X's and O's. What is your matchup to watch in this one?
Okay, so for me, I have Pete Carroll versus Kyle Shanahan, and we have a very, very talented team in the San Francisco 49ers. I'm still on their bandwagon. I still love Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. They did take a step back this week with losing their strong safety in their defense, but it comes down to who is going to make the best coaching decisions when you have two teams that are pretty evenly matched. Now, Seahawks are coming into this game with some bumps, some bruises, some injuries to some significant players. And so I think you can coach around that a little bit. You've got some very talented players. And as long as Pete Carroll has been around football between I think he was the head coach of the Patriots for a while back in the 90s. He was when he had USC And now with the Seahawks, been there quite a bit of time. He knows football and he knows situational football. Like, I need to get a touchdown on this fourth drive because that's going to set me up for this to do later. Kyle Shanahan's an offensive genius, and everyone, they lose coaches to head coaching positions and then they just refill those. They're probably going to lose more this offseason. Much like the McVay tree used to be, Kyle Shanahan's the same way. So I think Pete Carroll still got a little bit of sneakiness in his up his sleeve there, and I think he's going to try to. And the best chance for the Seahawks to win this game is for Pete Carroll to outcoach Kyle Shanahan.
Hey, Derek, I'm just curious. Is there a reason you did not want to say Talanoa Hufanga? You just totally were like a 49er strong safety.
I had it in my notes and I deleted it earlier because I went with a different matchup and I didn't. I was searching over here, like trying to find my tab of where it was at. I practiced it. I practiced it earlier to try to say it. And then I was like, no, that's just a little bit too much in the weeds to talk about the loss of a strong safety and what that would mean to the, you know, let's go with a little bit something easier to listen to. And I tried and I just couldn't find my tab again where his name was.
That's very cool. Anyway, I know that when you mentioned Pete Carroll and Kyle Shanahan, I feel like Pete Carroll is known for this cover three defense. Kyle Shanahan is known for being able to leverage people in a lot of different ways. John, I think that your matchup kind of talks about that in a very intricate way. Can you tell us a little bit about what you decided to select this week?
I decided to kind of focus on the cornerbacks for the Seahawks, notably Malik Willen and the rookie Witherspoon. They're going to have their hands full, and hopefully it's not illegal hands to the face in the end zone or other penalties that have been pretty costly in the last couple of games. But they're going to have to line up against some really good wide receivers, a running back that can catch the ball anywhere. George Kittle will be lining up wherever they feel like lining him up. And those two corners are going to have to figure out some way of limiting Brock Purdy and maybe keep him from another perfect passer rating, hopefully.
I like it. It'll be interesting to see exactly what happens there. I think that Woolen and Witherspoon are underrated as a cornerback tandem. And so I like you calling them out. They're both so young and they have a lot of future together there in Seattle. I went with a different matchup looking at the Seattle offense and trying to figure out just how they're going to be able to protect. You know, Geno Smith got banged up in the last game. He supposedly is going to be good enough to start that, or we will see the return of Drew Lock to the field. I know that no one gets as excited about Drew Lock as Derek does.
Broncos legend Drew Lock.
And Missouri legend Drew Lock. So, I mean, we got to get ready to hype him up if he shows up. But I wanted to look at, because Abraham Lucas is on injured reserve right now. Stone Forsythe, a sixth rounder from the 2021 NFL draft, is currently filling in at right tackle. And I don't know if everyone is aware of this, but the San Francisco 49ers are very good at rushing the passer. Not only in this past offseason, they already had Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead. They went out, signed Javon Hargrave from the Eagles to rush the passer, went out, traded for Chase Young this season, pulled off a trade with Derek's Denver Broncos to get Randy Gregory. They've got Javon Kinlaw. The busted Raider Clelin Ferrell is in there. Like, they can throw so many different people to rush the passer. And I think that Stone Forsythe might look like a little bit of a stone statue trying to get these blocks off, because I don't see a good way for him to be able to keep up with all of the fresh bodies that they can throw at him. And if they're not playing Stone Forsythe, they're playing approximately 92-year-old Jason Peters at right tackle. And
approximately.
he's been in the league about as long as like Leonardo DiCaprio has been in movies. Like, it's just one of those things where he's been around for way too long as far as an offensive lineman is concerned. He's not quite as healthy as the tackles on the other side. You know, he used to be a legend like Trent Williams, and now he's a legend because you can start using him everywhere to start figuring out how many teams he's played on in his career. He's getting a bit of a retirement tour, but in a different way than a lot of major stars where they go to every city and get recognized and celebrated. He signs a 1-year contract with teams in the middle of the season and gets celebrated for being depth on their team. But Stone Forsythe is going to have a rough game. No one wants one-on-one matchups with Bosa or Chase Young or Randy Gregory. You're going to be having issues. So Stone Forsythe, may the odds be ever in your favor, like the new Hunger Games movie would probably say. So that is all I have to add to that. Derek, any other comments on these Thanksgiving Day games before we jump over to the one, the only, the Brody Bets?
Yeah, so I have a question for my esteemed panelist on this. So because we have a early game, a midday game, and a late game, I'll start with you, Caleb, first. When do you eat Thanksgiving dinner? Are you a early, like, you know, a 10:30 or 11 eater? Are you like a 1 o'clock eater, or is it a 5 or 6 o'clock dinner? When is your Thanksgiving meal?
It somewhat has always depended on when everything finally gets ready, which is usually somewhere in the 1 to 2 o'clock range. So I'm going to say, it probably is going to end up happening during the Packers game. And my hope is that I'm not like so upset that I'm like thankful to walk away from the game to go eat dinner because I can't watch anymore. Cause that's what happened during the first time the Packers played the Lions this year and they were down 27-3 at the half. So please don't do that again, Green Bay. I don't need another broken heart to the Lions again this year. So typically in that 1-ish, 2 o'clock-ish range.
Okay, John, so when do you plan to have your Thanksgiving dinner? Are you an early, mid, or a dinner time Thanksgiving dinner?
It is about the same time. The turkey goes in as early as you can get it in, and usually that's 9 o'clock. And so by the time it's done and carved and you got all the potatoes mashed and you got everything on the table, it's about 1:30 or 2. So it is a early afternoon dinner. And then later in the day, you make turkey sandwiches.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I have had a little bit of both. I've had early morning because my dad used to cook for us. And he would get up way too early and cook the bird. And then everything just happened to get very quickly done at like an 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. And like, okay, well, this is good. I can have like 2 or 3 meals throughout the day while watching these football games. So yeah, I'm hoping that each game can give me a sandwich, at least like, so like an earlier, a devil's egg Packers Lions, then a full meal for the Commanders Cowboys, and then turkey sandwiches for 49ers Seahawks. That's going to be my plan.
It sounds like a beautiful plan.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to our Brody Bets segment. This is a supersized one because we're going to stuff this podcast full of Brody Bets. If you are new here and haven't heard about Brody Bets, we are not betting folk. We're so bad at it. I mean, generally I go 2 and 3 each week. I'm so bad at it that my wife would kill me if I bet any money. We also live in Oklahoma where that is not legal. So we bet high fives and handshakes on our games. Generally, Caleb gets a whole bunch of high fives because he's better at it than I am. So we go over our favorite teams for both college and the pros. And then we have a couple of favorites, an underdog and wild card. We're going to double up. We're going to double our favorites, double our underdogs, and double our wild cards. And my hope is that John gets the handshake and high five this time, because I really do think that someone just constantly beating me is good for my self-esteem. And also my therapist, who likes her summer home because of the money that I give her. That being said, I will start us off with my Oklahoma State Cowboys. So they are in a situation where it is a win and you are in to the Big 12 championship game. I thought I would never say those words. For the most part, there is like a 5% chance that other things fall a different way and they don't get into the Big 12 championship game. But as you'll hear in just a little bit, why I don't think that's going to happen. So the Oklahoma State Cowboys are a 17-point favorite over the BYU Cougars with an over-under of 56.5. I think this game is going to go under. I think we're going to have a 40-45-point game, as I think that they're going to try to run the ball as much as they can, get yards for Ollie Gordon, and try to win this game gritty, grimy. There's not going to be a whole bunch of points with the defense and with the Cowboys trying to win. So I'm going to go under 56.5. I'm going to toss it over to John for, it looks like the Missouri Tigers is your team. Go ahead and take it.
The Missouri Tigers, 7.5-point favorites at the Razorbacks. A long history of meeting between those two teams. Let me get back up here. Mizzou is leading their all-time matchups 9-4. I think they go 10-4. I think that they actually also hit the over on this one. I think both offenses are clicking. Schrader for the Tigers is running all over everyone. He's going to be a rushing leader if he's not the rushing leader. So I am going to take the over on that Mizzou versus Arkansas.
That's not the battle for the Golden Boot. That's Arkansas LSU. I don't know why I was thinking this was the battle for the Golden Boot. I'm totally wrong. One thing that I didn't see on anyone's plate for Thanksgiving was corn. And so I've got to jump in here and talk about my Cornhuskers playing on Black Friday, as they are 2.5-point favorites at home at Memorial Stadium against the Iowa Hawkeyes in a game with a beautiful over-under of 26.5 points. Get excited for Big Ten football, where it's kind of like Whose Line Is It Anywhere, where the points don't matter, and that's why they don't score them. I'm going to go ahead and take Nebraska minus the 2.5 in a game that I hope is like 10-7. I just want, or 10-0 would also work. I just want Nebraska to squeeze the life out of Iowa and win this game in the Big Ten West, as that would get them to 6 wins, and we would be bowl eligible, which is far less exciting than what both John and Derek are looking forward to with their college teams. But no bowl game since 2016. Let's end that streak.
So something we did talk about earlier, and I brought it up, was sharp cheese on my apple pie. Why don't you talk about those cheese heads of yours? We talked about the Packers game a little bit. Go ahead and give us your pick.
This is my pick that I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to take the Lions minus 7.5. The Packers have been outright awful at times this year. And while they did look composed at Lambeau Field, and composed, I use slight liberally, because the Chargers had their chances and quite literally dropped them away. Sorry, John. But they had their chances. Ugh. And I'm going to say that the Lions do not drop the ball the same way. Otherwise, Dan Campbell is going to have some kneecaps for dinner on Thanksgiving. Yes, I will continue to make that joke. So Lions minus 7.5 on Thanksgiving Day.
That's a, I hope you're wrong too. As I want the Packers to win, but I think you're probably on the right right pathway there. So I'm going to let's ride and go up with my Broncos country pick. They are a 2.5-point favorite versus the Browns. I have no idea how that is a thing because the Browns are supposed to be a good defense. But they do have a backup quarterback in right now, so maybe that's why we're getting the points. Either way, I do think that there is going to be some points scored in this game. I don't trust the Browns defense, and the Broncos with Chef Russ has been going to town the last couple of games. So I think we're going to go over 35.5 because that's only like 20 points apiece, not even that. So like 15, 16 points each. I think we can easily get to that. Going from one AFC West team to another, John, tell us about your favorite NFL team.
My favorite NFL team is also my least favorite NFL team, and it's the Los Angeles Chargers, which they're so good at scoring points, and they're also so good at letting other people score points, which I think is why Jordan Love and the Packers scored above their season average and almost a season high of yards against for Jordan Love. They are playing the Baltimore Ravens, a really good defensive team, a team that has figured out their offense as well at times. They kind of had some struggles, but even without Mark Andrews, I think that the over-under is going to... We're going to hit the over on this game. The Chargers just cannot stop people scoring points. And Justin Herbert cannot stop throwing touchdowns. So I think we'll have a high scoring game, but I'm at the point now that I am ready for another Chargers loss. If they win 7 in a row, they will make the playoffs. I'm not too hopeful.
So do you think the Chargers have ever thought about maybe hiring a head coach that's defensive minded? Brandon. Okay, so
I think they thought about that once, and then they decided they already had one in Brandon Staley.
Yeah. So, I completely agree. They have so much talent on that team. It breaks my heart that fans like you are out there because, like, on paper, they should probably be up there with the Eagles as really great teams. They should have like one or two losses, and somehow they lose a lot. So I'll agree with you on that one. So we leave one NFL team. Let's go back to you, John, for your first favorite. Tell us about that game.
Let's see. The first favorite for the NFL, I am going to New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, for the Bills at the Eagles. Eagles are coming off a win beating the defending Super Bowl champions in a really rough, muddy, rainy game, and it's kind of a shorter week. They just played Monday night. They play again Sunday. I'm going to pick the Bills here. I think the Bills can figure something out with the new offensive play calling that's going on there. The Eagles secondary has been allowing some completions, and I think that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and the new rookie Dalton Kincaid can they can figure some stuff out. And I think that it's going to be a lot closer than people think. And I think the Bills pull this out.
So you're rooting for the only New York-based team in the NFL, even though there are three teams that consider themselves New York-based teams. Go New York Bills. Everyone else plays in Jersey. I'm going to talk about my favorite, because we talked about my Oklahoma State Cowboys. My favorite is Texas versus Texas Tech. If Texas wins this game, they're the number one in the Big 12, and they are that allows Oklahoma State to win their game, win and in scenario. So Texas is a 13-point favorite versus Texas Tech. I think Texas knows that they are on the doorstep of maybe getting into the college football playoff if they can win the Big 12. I mean, Ohio State and Michigan have to play each other, and then you get some toss up with the Pac-12 guys. You know, there's an outside chance that they get that they are going to get to the playoff, and this is their best shot, is to show that they can whoop Texas Tech and then lose gingerly to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship game. So I am taking Texas in this game as a 13-point favorite. I do think that they put the points on Texas Tech and allow Oklahoma State to give them their win and end scenario. With that being said, let's move over to Caleb's first favorite. Tell us about this AFC North matchup.
So I know that it's interesting. Matt Canada, like we said, he just got fired. So interim coach bump goes to the Steelers for having a new play caller. And a team that is not getting a bump is the Cincinnati Bengals, unless you count a bump on Joe Burrow's wrist. And that's a bad joke, and I'm sorry. But I do think that the Steelers are a one-point favorite. It is in Cincinnati. I think the Steelers are going to show up, take care of business, and find a way to get a W and keep their postseason hopes alive, because they want to do everything they can, and their defense is phenomenal. And Jake Browning is going to look like he is not an NFL quarterback, because most people don't know that Jake Browning is an NFL quarterback. So I think that the Steelers will go get a win, and it will be a happy win for all of the Yinzers up in the Pittsburgh area.
Have you seen the videos of all of the Philadelphia-based, or not, yeah, the Pennsylvania-based teams? Like, whenever they go into, like, the stadium or the rink or whatever, there's shouts of "Fire Matt Canada." I do not understand what this man did to Pittsburgh, to Pennsylvania in itself. But I think Pittsburgh is very happy that the Penguins never have to scream that anymore. Any of the teams, it cracks me up how much a city can hate a man when he had a winning record as the offensive coordinator.
I mean, I believe that it was that they have been outgained in every game that they've had this year, even though they had a winning record. The winning record is for the team, not necessarily for the offense.
Yeah, but still. So let's talk about
Can we go through our purple favorites?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was about to say. We've got some purple favorites on deck here. I'll start off with mine here. So a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to make a heartfelt plea to Josh Dobbs. I think that he is a much better quarterback than I gave him credit for. He's got a really cool nickname now as the Pastronaut, as he is a rocket scientist. Very smart, very capable of coming in and leading a team to a victory. I'm very glad that he didn't versus the Broncos this last week. But I am going to jump all over the Purple People Eaters, a 3.5 point favorite over Dub Bears. Justin Fields is looking pretty good, and I think they're finally figuring out how to run an offense through him. But I still think the Vikings are a little bit too much right now, and so I have the Vikings -3.5. Caleb, let's talk about your Purple People.
So I went ahead and I took a Big 12 game because Derek is not the only one allowed to take Big 12 games. And yes, I am. I went ahead and took the Kansas State Power Cats to go ahead and win by 9.5 over the Iowa State Cyclones. The Cyclones are not that exciting. K-State has just continued to put a lot of things together and build their program in a way that I've really just put a lot of respect for them and for their new coach from the last couple of years. As you know, they're 8-3. Yes, they lost to Mizzou. Yes, they lost to Oklahoma State. They also lost to Texas by 3, but they're playing a lot better than I think a lot of people expect them to, especially with their roster. And you know, it doesn't seem to matter how they do it. They just keep finding ways to go out there and get dubs. So I like K-State, and I hope that they go and beat down on the boys from Ames this week.
That's a really good one here. Go Big 12 and soon to be Big 16, I think. As taking over the Pac-12 and most of their schools coming over to the Big 12 next year. So, John, do you want to talk about a team with a Heisman hopeful and probably someone who's going to be in New York in a couple of weeks?
You're going to have to refresh my memory on who that is.
Michael Penix, don't you have the Washington game?
I do have the Washington game. I just didn't put that together. I was more focused on the Apple Cup. The fact that they have decided to carry on this Washington versus Washington State battle, even after the lonesome Pac-2 is all that is left. Once Washington moves out to the Big 10. So I was more focused on that than the quarterback heading for the NFL draft very, 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 mm-hmm. very soon. So, but I think that that's kind of an interesting story. Washington is a 16.5 point favorite. There's just, I don't have a lot of hope for Washington State to even really cover that. So I would take Washington at 16.5 over Washington State.
Wazoo has I really like their team, and I think that they they're there. They have a really good options, but I definitely think that Washington is going to beat up on them. I think it's just the destiny at this point. Okay, so we've talked about the favorites. Let's start talking about these dogs. So let's just go from one Pac-12 to the next Pac-12, and let's talk about an orange and black team. So Caleb, tell me about your first underdog.
So I'm going with the game between the two Oregon schools. I want to say it's called the Civil War, but I feel like they might have abandoned that nickname because Civil War has negative connotations. So I can't remember what it's called anymore. Just consider it the kids from Corvallis against the Nike kids from Eugene. As I'm going with Oregon State +13.5 at Oregon. Both teams play fierce. They play competitive. And even if it's a late score by Oregon, state, I think that they're going to find a way to cover the amount. I think Oregon probably wins, but I think Oregon State plays fiercely enough, and in a rivalry game, sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. So it could come down to the wire, but I think Oregon State is going to play close and play competitive, and it's just not going to be a duck attack blowout for those mighty Oregon Ducks.
That's a really good one. So to kind of bring things together, bring all of our guests here today, so Bo Nix is the quarterback of the Oregon Ducks, probably also going to join Michael Penix in New York, as they are the top two guys right now, based upon the odds. Bo Nix has been in college so long that Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Chargers, his rookie year was the first year that Bo Nix played football in college. Herbert's on his second contract. So that's been like 6 years ago. Bo Nix is getting out of football this year, as he'll be going to the draft and he's out of eligibility.
I mean, when you have a name like Bo Nix, if you're not playing college football, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you've got to. It's so funny to me. When he was at Auburn, he looked fine. He was okay. The offense wasn't real great with him. He gets to Oregon, and it's like, oh, this is his team. He's super accurate. He's doing some amazing things. I just think it's Oregon. Even if you don't have Chip Kelly there, I still think Oregon is a really good team. I want to talk about, because I always like to jump into the Big 12, and I want to go back to purple because I'm having a purple day, I guess. So I have my underdog is TCU plus 10 in Norman, Oklahoma versus the University of Oklahoma. Well, I just don't like OU, so I hope that TCU beats them straight up. And also, if TCU beats OU, there's no way that OU can play in the Big 12 championship game. So that just takes off another little check mark off of the OSU versus OU in the Big 12 championship game, which I don't want, because I want OU to go away. Bye, go to the SEC. Don't want to talk to you no mo. We're going back to the NFL for John's first underdog. I wanted this game before I saw that you had it, because I really like this up-and-coming team. It's an NFC West battle. So tell me about this game, John.
The Cardinals versus the Rams at a Cardinals plus 5. I think this is going to be a tough game either way. Matt Stafford's coming off injury. Cooper Kupp just went down with injury. Kyler Murray just came off of injured reserve. He's kind of knocking the rust off. We got a lot of stuff going on. And this is to me a pick 'em. I'm not real sure who comes out on top, but I think that I think I'm going to go with the Rams. I think they've got Puka Nacua, and his name is fun to say, so I think we'll go with that one.
I love Puka Nacua this year. I just like saying his name, and I'm glad that there's like a lower round pick that just comes out like a house of house on fire. He's just done a great job, and I'm really happy that we get to say his name so very, very much. Okay, yep. So we have our next set of underdogs. John, I'm going to go back to you. I know you just had it, but this is the big game of the weekend, and I want to know where you're sitting at when it comes to this really big game.
Well, I was surprised that Ohio State was going in as the underdog. I thought it was the other way around, and that kind of tells you where I'm landing. Somebody has to lose this game, and that will ruin somebody's undefeated season. So They're both 11-0. The Buckeyes are going to Michigan, and I think they're going to get it done. I think that number two beats number three and keeps everything right with the world.
Caleb, do you have any thoughts on this Ohio State improper OSU? Let's just put it that way. They steal our defensive coordinator as well. Not happy with them. You have any thoughts on this this big game in the big house?
I think that if anything, this is a Harrison over Harbaugh pick. I mean, Harbaugh's not supposed to be there, you know, with his Big Ten suspension. You take Marvin Harrison Jr., put him out there, give the other team some fits. And Michigan struggled last week against a Maryland team that isn't that impressive. So maybe there's something to the whole thing that they were stealing people's signals, because when you can only beat Maryland by seven and you were crushing, like crushing everyone for weeks by like 30, that's not good. So give me Ohio State, as we need a little bit more imbalance in this rivalry series.
Hey, do you know this, Caleb? I don't know if you've ever seen this information before. They record all of the football games. They even show it on these magic picture boxes that come into our house. If you wanted to steal signs and that was the way that you're going to win games, it's much easier than sending Connor Stallions to other games. And everybody still signs, by the way. I'm not sticking up for Michigan. I am taking Michigan in this game. But on the other hand, this has been so blown out of proportion. The NCAA has said, oh, well, we have no proof that Harbaugh knew anything about this, but he's the one who has to serve the suspension. I don't understand it. I think it's wacky. Go Wolverines. That being said, let's just go straight up the list here. Tell me about your second underdog, Caleb. We're heading back to the NFL.
Well, my apologies to anyone from the podcast formerly known as Clutch Crew Sports, but I am taking the Houston Texans, who might have one of the worst NFL hashtags of all time, because I believe it is hashtag We Are Texans. That is not very exciting. I'm taking them plus one against the Jaguars, as I think that the Texans are going to pull the upset. They won by 20 in Duval earlier this year, and now I think they're going to go ahead and maybe not win by 20, but CJ Stroud is good. Tank Dell is good. Devin Singletary has been playing all right with Damian Pierce being out. You know, Nico Collins is coming back potentially soon. Like, I think that what is happening in Houston might be enough for an AFC South championship this year. So give me the Texans plus one at home to upset the Jaguars.
I love the Texans this year. I love CJ Stroud. I owe the man an apology. I have bad opinions a lot of times. I thought that CJ Stroud was not going to work out to be a good quarterback. I never saw him do what he's doing this year. I mean, easily the front runner for the offensive rookie of the year. Tank Dell is doing a great job down there. D'Amico Ryans, there's not a rookie head coach of the year award or anything like that. But they are in the playoff hunt, and versus a very scrappy Jaguar team. I like your pick there. I really do. I'm going to stay in the NFL here and head over to New Jersey, frankly, and take the New York Football Giants versus the New England Patriots. I do love a good gabagool, and Tommy DeVito is he could be the future of the franchise. Cause he's looked good last year. His hand signal when he does something well, which is the stereotypical Italian hand sign with like all the fingers put together. It's a great story. It's fun. And I think we finally are seeing a little bit of levity from the Giants after Daniel Jones has not been the answer there. And Brian Daboll has kind of been running around without much of a plan.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to me that the Giants are like the lighthearted team with the worst record in that city right now, because the Jets are just crashing and burning and turning to Tim Boyle.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. I would never say anything about Jets crashing, because right around the corner is Aaron Rodgers, and you know, if they're still in it, he could come back and they're just taking off. I don't even think that. We've finished up our teams. We finished up our favorites. We finished up our underdogs, but sometimes we get a little wild and crazy. So let's go to some wild card games. And we heard it before with Caleb when he had his Cornhuskers versus Iowa. So I'm on the Iowa bandwagon here. The last few weeks, I've paid attention to them. I've been following them a little bit this year because of if the offensive coordinator scores 25 points, averages 25 points a game, he gets to keep his job and all that. On the other hand, on the Brody bets, I always like to see how low can that number go for an over-under number, because, you know, generally you're looking in the mid-30s, and if you get it down to 32 or whatever, like, oh, that's a low-scoring game. The line this week for Nebraska and Iowa is 26.5 points. Oh, my goodness. I cannot pass this up. So my wild card is under 26.5 for the Cornhuskers versus Iowa. Since Iowa doesn't need this game to get into the Big Ten championship game, I'm going to say it is going to be a 23-3 game. Cornhuskers win this one.
I like that.
Yeah. So we're talking about guys who are getting to the into postseason play. I want to go down to a team that is in the college football playoff scenario at Florida State, and they have a rivalry game with Florida. John, can you tell me about your first wild card game?
My first wild card is Florida State at Florida, and both of them are without their starting quarterbacks as of this past week. So that is, I think that, what is the over-under? 55. Yeah. I just don't think we get there with two quarterbacks. Max Brown, his first career start, and Tate Rodemaker, that's fun to say also, his first start since 2020. I just don't think we get to 50 points. Both offenses are pretty good, but, and I know it's rivalry, but I just don't think we get there. I think both defenses can stop some basically rookie college quarterbacks.
Can we get Rotomaker to Puka Nacua? Like just even in an off season, like I just want to say those names a whole bunch. I like this game. I feel so bad for Jordan Travis and his injury. Me and the podcast wish nothing but a quick, speedy recovery for what seems like a very serious injury. He's already said that he is not coming back to college. He'll be moving on in his rehabilitation. So, you know, Florida State's right there. I think they were in the top six the last time the playoff committee came out. So you know, I hope that they still get a chance at it. But I think that the committee is going to say, oh, well, it's not going to be a very good game. And Jordan Travis isn't going to be there. So, you know, they're going to put Oregon. They're going to put Texas. They're going to put Alabama in that four spot. So we shall see. Caleb, I think you have your first wild card. What's that one?
So I'm looking at the first Black Friday game in the NFL that's going to be on Amazon Prime, because they don't get Thursday Night Football this week because it's Thanksgiving and it's on NBC. So they're getting the Dolphins Jets game. The Dolphins have been showing up on defense the last few weeks, and the Jets have not been showing up on offense for about a month. So I'm going to go ahead and take this one. The Dolphins may score 30 or more, but I'm going to go Dolphins Jets under 40.5, as it is going to be a game where maybe that tryptophan leftover gives you an afternoon nap, but it's not going to be thrilling to watch. Sorry, Amazon. You still can sponsor us. Derek and I would take free Prime membership. just let us know what we need to do.
I will sell out. Like, whatever you need me to do, I will sell out. I like your pick there. You know, maybe Tyreek Hill has 39 points all to himself. You know, jet sweeps or whatever. If there was anybody in the NFL right now that has such a pendulum swing, it's Tyreek Hill. Like, what the Chiefs would do right now if they had him with his, you know, his good hands, and what the Dolphins wouldn't be without Tyreek Hill and Tua, you know, and then next guy coming up. So huge pendulum swings. And so, you know, just because I'm good at the transitions, I'll talk about the Chiefs. They have a game versus the Raiders, so AFC West matchup there. Really hoping that both teams lose somehow, and that but I am going to take the over of 43.5 points there. I think the Chiefs get some revenge. I think they're going to have to tell people, hey, this is our offense and this is what we're going to do. So, you know, they're going to go out here and score. Aiden O'Connell is probably not the future of the Raiders franchise. And maybe not even Antonio Pierce, even though he's doing a great job at the Raiders. Oh, it tastes so bad when I have to say nice things about the Raiders. I hate them so very, very much. But the Chiefs Raiders, both my wild cards are over-unders. One's an under, one's an over, just because I'm a little bit wild and crazy. So we talked about the Dolphins and the Jets, and Caleb took the under on that one. What do you think, John? Let's talk about your second wild card, which is that Dolphins-Jets game.
I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about my pick of the Jets covering that game. They are not going to score a lot of points. We do not have any confidence in the Jets scoring the points, but the Jets defense has been wrecking offenses. They are holding other offenses that normally score a lot of points to not a lot of points. And even with Tyreek Hill being a superstar receiver and Tua being able to get the ball out in point whatever seconds, I think that the Jets just make this a gross slugfest, and I think they cover. I don't think that it'll be a very high scoring game. I agree with the under, and I think that it's just going to be a little bit closer. I don't have any anticipation that the Jets are going to win this game. Don't hear what I'm not saying, but I think that their defense has just been so spectacular, and that's the only reason that they're getting even close to winning games. It certainly hasn't been Zach Wilson.
9.5 points is a lot of points there. So you could definitely be onto something there. I like Mike McDaniel as a coach. So, but Robert Saleh, like, it's former 49er versus former 49er. And, you know, everyone's just, dad needs to come in and say, hey, kids, settle down. And that's Kyle Shanahan. So we finish up with Caleb on his second wild card. Caleb, tell me about this Pac-12 game.
Going back to the Pac-12 for one last hoorah, I'm going with Colorado at Utah in a game where Utah has had a lot of injuries on offense, and I don't think they're going to put up a lot of points. And if there's one thing Kyle Whittingham does, it is play good defense and get his team to do the fundamentals the right way. So I have Colorado at Utah under 52.5. But Derek, I know you had picked Chiefs Raiders a moment ago. I want you to not be concerned about how Antonio Pierce is doing as the interim head coach. Mark Davis doesn't promote good interim head coaches to the full-time head coach. If anything, the Raiders' next full-time head coach could be coming from my contest. It could be primetime Deion Sanders coming all the way up to the Raiders. Maybe he'll draft Shadur. And, you know, it'll be the Sanders family in Vegas, because that feels like it just writes itself as a Hollywood script over and over. And it doesn't have a whole lot to do with my Colorado at Utah pick, but I felt like I needed to at least throw it out there, because if there's one thing Mark Davis is going to do, it's be Mark Davis. So
how do you have Rich Bisaccia in your building and he's your interim coach and he does a good job? No. We're going to kick him out the door and hire Josh McDaniels, who you literally saw what he did to Denver. Like, drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. Absolutely destroyed that team. Yeah, they won one playoff game. Good for you. You saw what – this is the AFC West. You saw what they did. No, Josh McDaniels is good. No, stick with your interim coach. You have good coaches in the building. Maybe even go talk to the Packers and see if you can get Rich Bisaccia back. I don't know. Raiders, I mean, please go burn and never put on a jersey ever again. But at the same time, realize the talent you have in-house.
Other potential head coaching nominees that I'm just going to bring up, they could bring back the Lane Kiffin experience. Because they had him for about two seasons about 20 years ago, and that they seem to like coaches who were good about 20 years ago. So struggling to come up with some good names from that era.
What do you think about Nick Saban having another go in professional
football? I think if the Raiders offered him $50 million a year, he would take that check. That's what will happen. Lincoln Riley to the Raiders. Will have no defense, and they will have another, and Cliff Kingsbury is going to be his offensive coordinator.
He already is. I mean, he's already on staff. Like, why would you have someone that you can fire and someone with NFL head coaching experience to step in? It's perfect. It makes so much sense that it just can't not be true.
Tell me it's going to happen, Mark. So it has been a full-bellied Brody Sports Talk here on this Thanksgiving episode. We did the dinner draft. We went through the games. And we had a extra serving or two of Brody Bets. I don't know if y'all are feeling stuff, but I know that I am feeling about at max capacity on some of my NFL content. If you like us, please make sure you go and check out our link tree, link.tr or tr.ee/BrodyTalk. I almost messed that all the way up. And that's where you can find all of our links to our X account or various podcast platforms where you can subscribe, give us 5-star review, and just let us know that you enjoy hearing the pod. Special thanks, of course, to John for joining us today. Lots of fun being able to talk dinner and football with him. And so on behalf of my co-host, Derek, and my guest, John, we are signing out. Later, y'all. Bye.
Someone pass the Co-Whip.